earlier this week, sitting at dinner with my little family, just asked me what gospel I would be preaching. Luke 10:38-42, I said, Mary and Martha, she said. After a long, thoughtful pause, my wife, the perennial and abiding achiever, said, don't shame the Marthas. We're doing the best we can. I'm so thankful for her words and for her wisdom because she's right. It's so easy to feel shame when a contrast is made between people and behaviors. And it's so easy to read these accounts and walk away thinking that they're morality tales. Don't do this, instead do that. And when we do this and not that, we're in the wrong, and being in the wrong brings shame. But this isn't a morality tale like it's so often been preached. It isn't about us at all, really. It's about Mary. It isn't about Mary. It isn't about Martha. It's about Jesus and the kind of Messiah he is. It is at its core an invitation. As this account unfolds, we, the bystanders, feel a twofold conflict. The first is the obvious and perpetual juxtaposition between action and contemplation, work and rest. The second is more cultural and social. You see, last week in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we learned something about Jesus. Jesus gives a radical answer to the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus, with his answer, violated the concept of nationalism. He broke down any excuse for tribalism, favoring the people who look, speak, and think like me versus, well, those who don't. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we learn of a Messiah who redraws the boundaries of God's people, sending a clear message about how the gospel would reach those outside the borders that we make. And this week, he redraws the boundaries not between nations, but between men and women within the household of Judea. Once again, blurring lines that have been clearly laid down. Jesus doesn't seem to regard the boundaries and borders that people establish. And here we see Mary transgressing a cultural norm. Male and female roles at that time and in many cultures today are clearly and strictly delineated. Mary had chosen and crossed an invisible boundary within the social world. She's not doing the work of a woman. And she had settled down comfortably with men to listen to Jesus. And that was bordering on scandalous. This reality, in addition to the pressure of hosting the Son of God in your house, was just too much for Martha. Our translation says that she is distracted with much serving. But the word Luke uses doesn't describe a distraction. Distracted driving, daydreaming. It describes being overoccupied, distressed, troubled, and anxious. In a word, restless. But Jesus, when confronted by Martha, sees through the work she is doing. He sees through the complaint about Mary and straight to Martha's heart. It's not about the work at all. Jesus isn't concerned about the norms, nor is he concerned about being served. Remember, he himself said that he came not to be served, but to serve. If we saw before that Jesus is a Messiah who breaks down cultural boundaries, now we see that he is a Messiah who is concerned about one person. He cares about Martha. But the Lord answered her, Luke says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needed. This one thing isn't rest. I know many Marthas, and it occurs to me that to any of you who identify with Martha, for me to tell you to rest is to give you one more task. So it's not, don't do this, do that. It isn't stop working, rest. If it isn't about us and what we are to do or not do, then it isn't first and foremost about rest. It's about trust. Mary wasn't afraid to step out of bounds because she trusted Jesus. It was her trust that allowed her to rest, to sit at Jesus' feet. Indeed, the very command to keep the Sabbath was about trust in God, that He would provide even on the days when we didn't toil. Augustine of Hippo famously prayed in his Confessions, "Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee." Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. Resting in the Lord is different than just taking a break from work. It is trusting so much that He will do the things He has said He will do. I heard the voice of Jesus say, we sang just moments ago, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. Often our exertion, the slog, the work, and desire to fit into the proper order looks so much like the right thing that we believe it is the right thing. That's why Martha was confident that Jesus would agree with her about Mary. But Mary had chosen the one necessary thing, the good portion. At that moment, Mary was more enthralled with Jesus than with herself. She cared more about what Jesus said than what others thought of her or her home. And because of this, Jesus commended her choice to sit and listen. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. Timothy Keller, in his book, The Prodigal God, tells about an acclaimed foreign film, Three Seasons. The film is a series of vignettes about life in post-war Vietnam. One of the stories is about a young rickshaw driver named Hai and Lan, a beautiful prostitute. Both have deep, unfulfilled desires. Hai is in love with Lan, but she's out of his price range. Lan lives in grinding poverty and longs to live in the beautiful world of the elegant hotels where she works, but in which she never spends the night. She hopes that the money she makes by prostitution will be her means of escape, but instead the work brutalizes her. The work enslaves her. Then, Hai enters a rickshaw race and wins the top prize. With the money he brings Lan to the hotel, he pays for the night and he pays her fee. Then, to everyone's shock, he tells her he just wants to give her a place to sleep. Instead of using the power of his wealth to use her, he spends it to purchase a place for her to rest her head. The beautiful Lan finds such grace deeply disturbing at first, thinking Hai has done this to control her. But eventually it becomes apparent that he's using this power to serve her rather than to have her serve him. And when she realizes that, she begins to trust him. And that trust, it transforms her, making it impossible for her to return to a life of prostitution. Jesus Christ, who had all the power of the world, saw us enslaved by the very things we thought would free us, the striving, the fronting, the security, the power, the privilege, the status. He saw us enslaved by the very things we thought would free us. So this Messiah, he emptied himself of his glory and became a servant. He laid aside the infinities and immensities of his being, and at the cost of his life, paid the debt of our sins and purchased for us the only place our hearts can find rest, trusting in the very one who made us. Our hearts are restless. Until they rest in thee. Jesus' gentle admonition to Martha was an act of love to her, to me, and to you. It was an invitation. We're all Martha at times. And through this correction, Jesus is asking us, whom are we trusting in our striving? Jesus seeks to free us from this slavery by inviting us to trust him. Rest at his feet. Listen to his boundary-breaking call. As he goes along his journey to Jerusalem, he leaves behind towns, villages, households, and individuals who have glimpsed a new vision of the Messiah. And for them, for us who trust, life will never be the same. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Amen.